It is a truth that there is no other way. I've tried over and over, and I realize that there is no other way that I could live without Jesus. I mean, really live. You see, anything else is just mere existence. It's only until Jesus flooded my soul that I began to live. For we were all dead in trespasses and sin. Till Jesus came in. Thank you, voice of the praise. Thank you, Jessica. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gavin. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Amen. Kyle Samuel is really stepping up on the piano and his vocals. Amen. I'm very proud of these young people. I decided to preach my own anniversary. It's kind of like throwing yourself your own birthday party. It kind of takes something away from it, but I've enjoyed it. I'm surprised that many of you have come back after last week. I know that I felt better when I got through. I don't know how you felt, and didn't really care. Amen. But I figure there's some things that a pastor needs to say after 30 years. 30 years is a long time to pastor any church or to be steadfast in any one commitment. I said it's a grueling joy. Grueling on one hand and a joy on the other. But I'm so thankful to God that He saw fit to call me into this ministry and place me into the pulpit. I remember 30 years ago when they had an election and voted me in. But before the church voted me in, God had already put me in this position. So I'm not here because men and women voted for me. I'm here because God ordained for me to be here. And after 30 years, I'm still standing. But I sure ain't standing still. Amen. We invite your attention to the epistle of 1 John. Don't get it mixed up with St. John. 1 John, the second chapter. It would greatly benefit you to read the entire chapter in your own time at a later time, or read the entire epistle would be a tremendous blessing as well. 1 John, second chapter, and beginning at verse 18, you'll find these words. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now, are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Usher's ministry, you are dismissed. A little while back, the church treasurer had to go out of town for a family emergency, a funeral in the south, and the responsibility of getting the tithes and the offerings fell upon me to get it to the bank. And so I had to stamp all the checks and check to make sure that they were not post-dated, because you know some people post-date checks. I had to make sure all the signatures were properly put on each check, and then I had to recount the money and make out the deposit slips to go to the payroll account and to the building fund and so forth. And as I counted the monies and put all of the president's faces and together and so forth and put the band around it, I went to the bank. And I presented what I had to the teller. She began to take the currency and take the band off and begin to count the money. And she was counting with great speed. And then as she was counting this stack of 20s, she laid one to the side and kept counting. And looked at me and said, "That's counterfeit," and just kept on counting. And I was amazed at how she figured it out. Lifting it up to see if that line went through it. She didn't have a pen put on it. She knew immediately that that was a counterfeit 20. It looked real to me. But she didn't miss it. I wasn't so surprised that someone had put a counterfeit 20 in the offering. They even perhaps got change. I wasn't surprised about the counterfeit bill, because people have been given counterfeit worship, counterfeit praise, counterfeit love, and counterfeit service for years in the church. My message today is called The Counterfeit Christian. I want to talk about the counterfeit Christian. The teller let me take that counterfeit bill back with me. They won't do it anymore. They have to confiscate everything that comes in now. But at that time, she let me take it back, and I put it up in the trustee board and told them to study it, that they might be able to see it. But I found out later that tellers don't study counterfeit money. I found out that tellers spend hours and hours studying the authentic, genuine currency. Every denomination, they study it. They look, put it under they put it up under something to make it look appear, and they know every detail, every face, every detail of the currency. They take a magnifying glass and they look at each corner. They know it. They study it so well until they know the authentic. So anytime the phony comes, anytime the fake comes, without hesitation, they can just put it to the side and say, "That's counterfeit." That's why for 30 years I've been trying to get you to study the authentic Word of God. I've been asking you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible over and over and over again. Study it to show yourself approved. So that when those that come with a fraudulent doctrine, those that come that's erred with heresy, you'll realize it right away and say, "No, that's not the God I serve." When they come knocking on your door Saturday morning, when they offer you a bean pie, when they offer you their doctrine, when they come riding on their little bicycles with their helmets on, you can tell them, "No, I'm sorry. I got the real deal here." We should be able to discern. Because it says in our text, we have an unction. An anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. That we should know all these things. In this message today, tradition places this epistle, this letter, about 90 AD, written by John, the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. Most would say it was written from Ephesus. And John uses the phrase "we know" 12 times. "Know we" 3 times. "Ye know" seven times. Ye may know, or we may know, two times. You see, this entire letter is a letter of blessed assurance. So that you might know without a doubt that you have accepted Christ and that you are on your way to heaven. We are assured over and over and over again that we have accepted Christ as our Savior. That He is the Lord and Savior of it all. That we should have no doubt whatsoever that the Holy Spirit indwells us and teaches us the thing that we need to know. That He has revealed the things to us. At the time that John wrote this, a new heresy was on the uprise called Gnosticism and Docetism. Gnosticism and Docetism sound like this. The heresy that made inroads in the church said knowledge is superior to Christian virtue. That knowledge is superior to right conduct. That knowledge is superior to everything, and only a few have this knowledge. Does it sound familiar? It's still prevalent today. They say that a non-literal sense of Scripture is correct and can only be understood by just a select few. That evil in the world precludes that God is not the only creator. Heresy had filled the church, and people were coming in and robbing the church with this hellish doctrine. They did not believe in the incarnation or Jesus Christ putting on flesh. They said it was incredible and an impossibility that deity could unite itself with material bodies. That's called Docetism. They did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily. They believe He rode in spirit, as does Jehovah's Witness believe. The ethical standard of Gnosticism was so low that John came to say, now you can't live like the world. Because God has raised His standard of holiness. And you must live by God's standard. Yeah, so he writes, distinguish the teachings of the Spirit of God from the teachings of false teachers, false prophets, and antichrist. He says the antichrist shall come, but there are antichrists already in the church and have been in the church for thousands of years. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is Christ and the Lord of all is an antichrist. He exhorts them, brethren, that many have fallen. And so he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be revealed or made manifest that they were not all of us. They were hypocrites. They were fake. They were phony, false, faux, fraudulent. They were artificial, synthetic, a sham, an imposter, a pretender. Imitations. That's what they were. They left us, but not all of them. Some of them are still here. Don't look around now. You could be sitting next to a kind of a Christian. I said, don't look, don't look. You just point. Don't be doing that. And a counterfeit Christian is not really a Christian. He looks like a Christian. He walks like a Christian. He talks like one, sing like one, pray like one, shout like one. And Lord knows they love to dance like one. But they're not real. It's all a show. And hence my frustration. For 30 years I've seen them come and seen them go. Not knowing they were hypocrites. Not knowing they were pretenders. Not knowing they were imposters. Some of them even came to the tithe box. I figured if he's a counterfeit, he certainly won't tithe. But I found out some of them wasn't really tithing. They were just coming to the tithe box. And a tenth to some of them mean a ten. Because all they were putting in there was a ten. Now that's fine if you only made $100, but that wasn't always the case. They went out from us. It is every pastor's sincere hope and desire that everyone he preaches to will get it. We have nothing but the word of God and our own testimony and our own life to stand upon, and God lets us use this tongue to try to reach you. I've had this talk many times with God. I told him I would do better if he let me use a taser. But he has overruled me in that. A baseball bat would help, Pastor. At least I could knock it into him, but he overruled that as well. And the Lord lets me know that Jesus didn't carry a taser or a baseball bat, and neither did Apostle Paul, Peter, any of the boys. They just preached. And God added to the church. I can't add to the church. And I want to make it plain. I want to make it understood. I'm not trying to fill up these pews. I'm trying to fill up heaven. But it's been discouraging. And a great disappointment. When you preach the best you can. Pour yourself into people. And they sit up there texting. Sit up there nodding and falling asleep. I've had some men who had potential who came in the church, but when that wife starts saying, "You sound to sound like your pastor," they snatched him right on out the church. Yes, I have. I've had some. Some men that I felt if they stayed in a while, I could work with them. But that woman seen he was trying to stand up and with some backbone, and she snatched him right on out the church. Many times I've seen that. Because I'm a man. I mean, I'm a real man. I walk like a man. I talk like a man. I even eat like a man. Don't invite me over your house and say, "Pastor, do you want some more?" Yeah, give me some more. I eat till I'm full. Because I'm a man. I'm a man. That's what I am. And you're not going to stay in this church and be no wimpy man around me. But a lot of times that's all a woman wants. She don't want no real man. She want a pretend man. She want a man who she can control, not who God controls. Now some of you men ain't going to never come back here no more after today. Because she got more charm than me. And she said, "Baby, let's go over there. That's where you're going." But if you was a man, you said, "No, I'm going back to Macedonia." But they came out from us. They left us. Some say they outgrew my preaching and my teaching, which is true. Some of them I ran away with the word. Some of them you ran away with your rudeness. Some of you ran them away because you didn't give them the attention they needed or craved. Yeah, I don't blame everything on me. And I'm not bothered by the fact that they left us and joined somewhere else. I'm bothered when they go back into the world. Because that tells me we missed them. and they were not real. But we could have developed them to become real. John writes in this epistle, distinguish between the true and the false. He said, fourth chapter, believe not every spirit. Try the spirit whether they are of God. He said, Jesus is come in the flesh. If you believe that, that's from God. If you believe he didn't come in the flesh, that's Antichrist. Chapter 5, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loves him that begotten loveth him also that is begotten of him. You can't love the Father without loving the Son. You can't get to the Father except through the Son. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can come no other way, for there is no other way. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4:3, it is hid to them that are already lost, in whom the God of this world, the prince of darkness, Satan himself, has blinded the minds, not the eyes, but the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. But we pastors, we preachers, we believe that they can be saved. And the proof is God saved us. Amen. At least some of us are saved. Mm-hmm. We have believed the gospel. Mm-hmm. It has been tremendously upsetting when I watch your children come up in the church, many of which I've baptized, go away to college and find some new doctrinal teaching. Join some fraternity or sorority and turn their back on Jesus. And did not get the reinforcement they should have got from you in the home. I've only got them for a little while on Sunday. You got them all week long. Don't blame all of this on me. They went out from us. Because they weren't all of us. They were counterfeit. They were pretenders. But I didn't really know it. You see, I preached the gospel. But some embraced it differently than others. Here's what I'm talking about. Believing that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, was buried and rose the third day. That's history. But believing he died for you, was buried and rose the third day, that's salvation. Amen. There's a difference between history and salvation. You've got to make this thing personal. I know he died for the world. That's just a good history lesson. But when you understand that he died for you, that he took all of your sins upon him and took your place, when they nailed his hands and feet and put a crown of thorns on his head. That's salvation when you make it personal. And that's what John is saying. He became our propitiation. He begins this letter by saying, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, the Logos, the incarnated Christ, God all by himself. He wasn't a figment of our imagination. We touched him. He touched us.
Yes, sir.
We blessed him. He blessed us. He was not a spirit man. He was a man clothed in flesh. And yet he was God all by himself. He tells us, don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a test. Amen. Hypocrite Christians don't get this. They think they can do anything they want to do because, I say again, they're not real Christians. Oh, they look like us, but they're not us. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yeah.
And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, because we have eternal life. We cannot be duped. We cannot be fooled.
No.
Jesus has warned us. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:24. And there shall rise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. If it were possible, but we've got an unction. We have this anointing of the Holy Ghost that gives us discernment, so when we see the real, that's counterfeit, we don't mess with it. Counterfeit Christians give counterfeit love. Counterfeit worship. Counterfeit praise. Counterfeit service. You cannot depend upon, oh, they'll do something for a minute, but as soon as they get tired of it, they'll walk away from that. Be surprised how many people have walked away from this ministry in these 30 years. I've had to replace bus drivers, treasurers, deacons. I've had so many preachers walk away, they ain't funny. Some of them stopped preaching, which told me they were counterfeit in the first place. You'd be surprised how many preachers will preach just for an offering. The object of preaching is not to fill your pockets, it's to help fill heaven. But you can't preach something you don't know nothing about. You can't talk about faith if you don't have no faith. Let me further illustrate this. What you have before you are two vases, not vase, two vases of roses. You say vase, I say vase. A rose is a perennial flowering shrub or vine of the genus Rosa family that has over 100 different species. The stems usually have thorns upon them that are very prickly. They are native to Asia, and smaller numbers are species of Europe, North America, and Northwest Africa. But we love them for their beauty and their fragrance. But both of these are not the same. One of them I have had in my presence for several years. The other one I've only had for several hours. One of these will go back to my office down the hall, and one of these will go home with my wife. One of these man-made, the other one God-made. For while man arranged both of them, only God could really make a rose. Man, in his biology or botany, can use hybrids and do certain things, but he cannot make a rose. Only God can do that. One of these has a sweet fragrance. The other one has nothing. One of these will be with me for many more years. The other one just for a few days. One of these needs water. One of them have no water. One of them needs sunlight. The other one will stay the same in the darkness. One of them needs love and care and attention. The other one just needs a little dusting off every now and then. Because one is real. And one is a counterfeit.
Amen. Amen.
Now you've been trying to discern which is real and which is a counterfeit from where you sit. Have you made up your mind?
Yes.
One of these, the water won't spill out. Because it's not real water. The other one, yeah, that's real water there. It has the fragrance. It's genuine. It's real. It's not a fake. It's not a phony. You know when the fake or phony comes, don't you? You know what a knockoff is, don't you? That's when you buy that pocketbook on the street that say Gucci on it, but it ain't no Gucci. It say Coach, but it ain't no Coach. That dress say Liz Claiborne, but it ain't no Liz Claiborne. Man, that suit say Armani, but that ain't really Armani. That's Armani. Those are no real alligator shoes you got on. That's not no real lizard shoes. It's an imitation. It's fake. It's a sham. It's an imposter. Those aren't real diamonds. Those are zircons. That ain't no real gold ring. Just keep it long enough, it'll turn green on you. And lady, those shoes ain't Prada, they Prade. And here's the truth of the matter. You can come to church with fake hair, false teeth, fake shoes, fake purse, fake suit, fake everything, false everything, but still be real. You can also come in with everything that's legitimate, bona fide, and genuine and be just as phony as a counterfeit $20 bill. So let me ask you a question. Who are you? Who are you really when you're all by yourself, when the lights are out and you're all alone and nobody's else? Who are you then? Who are you pretending to be? Does everybody around you know who you really are? Are you honest with other people? Better than that, are you honest with yourself? I've had some men set up under me just so they can get next to some of the women in the church. I've had some women set up under me just so they can get to that one or two men that they seen that they wanted. But they were not true Christians. We have this saying called, are you truly saved? There's no such thing in the Bible as truly saved. Either you saved or you're not saved. Now let me explain. Once you are saved, you're saved. You're saved from the penalty of hell. Once you're saved, you'll never be any more saved than you are. But you can be more sanctified. You see, I'm in pursuit of holiness. I'll never be any more saved than I am, but I'm pursuing holiness because day by day I am more sanctified in Christ. Now, sanctification is twofold because the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is helping sanctify me, but I must also sanctify myself. But you see, a lot of we Christians, we're just like these roses. Some are not real like these. In a few days, these would wilt. They'll fade and they'll die because the water was never meant to sustain them long because they've been cut off. And you can be a Christian a real Christian. But once you get cut off from the word, which is the vine, you have a short life expectancy. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Do you not understand that you must stay rooted and grounded in the word of God? Because it's the root that produces the fruit.
Amen.
And God wants you to be fruitful. Not fruity, but fruitful. That's what's wrong with some folk. They're just fruity. He says, abide in me. And I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. It has to stay rooted. See, these need to have the water of the word poured on them constantly. And if you are a genuine, bona fide Christian, you need to hear the word.
Amen.
These need no water. These need no sunlight. And I'm talking about F-O-N light. You need F-O-N light to shine on you. These are silk. And you know what? I've had these for a number of years back in my office. You'd be surprised how many people have come in and tried to smell them. They've actually said, I just got to touch these. Oh, they look so real. I said, yeah, I got some folk in the church just like those. But I got up close enough to smell some of them. No sweet, holy fragrance. I got close enough to touch some of them and find out they weren't real. And that's been a frustrating experience. When you thought that someone was really loving you and loving the Lord and serving God, to see them walk away. They walked away. So John says, they went out from us. But they were never of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now all of them didn't leave. Some of them stayed. And I didn't really force them to leave, Pastor Gavin. And I'll tell you why. Because I found out a long time ago that if you disconnect the positive wire from these lights, they'll go out. The negative wire cannot keep them on. Neither can the negative sustain them if the positive disconnected. Go to your car when you get out of here and disconnect the negative battery post. You will not be able to start that car just by the power of the positive. Because it's the negative that makes the positive work. In other words, the negative grounds the battery.
All right.
So I've had some negative folk in 30 years that kept me grounded.
Yes,
I've had some negative Negroes that made me work hard.
Yes.
Amen. So I ain't trying to get rid of all of them. But I do have a list. They went out, that would help the church be purified. They went out so that some of the others could be better. Because some people hinder other people. Some people get their feelings hurt and just leave their post. And I don't understand that, because there's nobody in here who's had their feelings hurt more than me in 30 years. But I'm still here. Am I preaching this? This is my anniversary. Happy anniversary, Pastor. I've been lied on, cussed at. I've had some terrible things said to me and about me, but I'm still here. And I'm here not because of you. I'm here because God told me to come. I don't get it when somebody didn't speak to you, or somebody didn't give you the attention you wanted, or somebody didn't smile at you, or somebody misplaced you on the particular auxiliary you were on, and you got all huffy and mad and left. I don't get it. But then again, I do. Because you ain't never been real. Oh, you looked real. You were just as pretty as the real. But you weren't real. If you had been real, the Spirit of God would have indeed kept you. Even when your feelings got hurt, you'd have stayed. And those sermons that I upset you and made you mad, you went home and you swole up, but you came back. God bless you. Because I wasn't here trying to be your friend. I wasn't here trying to tickle your fancy. I don't even know where your fancy is. I was here trying to get you to heaven, that you might be able to understand that Jesus is real. And how do I know? Because if he saved me, he could save anybody. Right. You see, I cannot take these fake, phony, fraudulent flowers and make them real. But God can. Because he can take a fake, phony, fraudulent person like me and make me real. And he did that. They left us. They left us. Many times they left God. But I don't grieve because they weren't real. They didn't need the water of God's word. They didn't need the S-O-N light. They did not need the tender loving care that it comes to take care of roses. Even in the short span of his life that they're being cut off, they still shall sustain beauty in my household for a few days. If they were still connected to the vine, it would be for many, many, many days. All I've come to tell you is, if you're real, act like it. If you're real, demonstrate it. If you're real, I mean really real, be true to yourself. But if you're not, you need to give your life to Jesus right now. Only Jesus can take the fake, the phony, the false, and the faux, and the fraudulent, and make it real by his own power. It changes you inside out. You'll not be fooled by the counterfeit. You'll not be fooled by the pretense. You know he's real. Verse 26 says, but the anointing which we have received of him abideth in you. You need not that any man should teach you. And what it means is that you need not get any specific teaching about other doctrines, because you know this, because the Spirit lives in you. Teaching you all things that is truth and is no lie. In other words, no counterfeit. That's what it says in the NIV, no counterfeit. And even that it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Live in him. Remain in Jesus. Don't let people pull you out. If they can pull you out, you never was in. If you're willing to endure anything to inherit the kingdom, to inherit eternal life, then you are real. Be real. Be real. Jesus was real. I trust in a real Savior. There was nothing phony about him. He did not feign his death. He did not fake it. He died. He took your sins and my sins and died upon the cross for you and for me. I couldn't do it for myself. Man can do a lot of things, but man can't save you, and you can't save yourself. He took a real Son of God, the genuine anointed Messiah, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross, to give his life for yours. And until you make this thing personal, and say within yourself, because he died for me, I must live for him. Until you become real to live for him, you're missing out on the genuine, the bona fide, the real. He died on the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday and all day Saturday, but the record said early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. When Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back for no artificial folk, no counterfeit Christians, which are not Christians at all. He's coming back for the real deal. Be real till he comes. God bless you. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open. And he is coming back.